What will change going forward from the experience of hiring 1,000 people? The principal thing that will change is a mindset change that happened here at HUD in this journey of hiring 1,000 people. About a year ago, employees voted to establish core values for the agency. Well over half of the agency employees participated in that process, and this was really an opportunity and a test of those core values. And two stood out here that this effort reflected, I think, in volumes: teamwork and respect. You mentioned earlier that an Ochico office can only do so much, and then it's up to hiring managers and other players in the process. Well, instead of the typical finger-pointing that we have seen over the years, this particular experience was different. And it started with the senior leadership, the secretary, the chief of staff, the deputy secretary, admonishing the senior leaders to own this process and to stop the finger-pointing. That's a mindset change. And that went down into the organization, all the way down to the administrative officers and the HR specialists. And so it's exciting to see that here, and it's exciting to be able to participate in such a critical function for the agency. Our next step now is to make sure that we continue to close skill gaps so that we can perform our mission, to engage employees in ways that allows them to do their best work and to use discretionary time and energy to work on things that's exciting for them. We have the most diverse federal agency in the government, and we're continuing that through our hiring, and we'll continue through our training and through our leadership and through employee participation and working together so that we can pursue a mission that we all feel very passionate about.
One thing that occurs to me as you're hiring 1,000 new people and more hiring potentially in 15 and beyond is HUD has traditionally come with the results from the Employee Viewpoint Survey, the Best Places to Work surveys. HUD has not been great. Let's just call it like it is. The morale, the feeling of accomplishment, people love the mission, but then the other pieces come in very low. Do you think this influx of people and these core values you talked about, do you expect changes in terms of improving morale, improving the idea that people are excited to be at HUD? Not the mission area, but the other pieces that go with it.
It's no secret that we've struggled in that area. The diversity is a double-edged sword. Number one, you can have it, but if you can't leverage it, then it shows pretty easily because people tend to clan quite easily. And so we did not rest on our laurels from a composition perspective. We have continued to look for diverse candidates of all types, beyond race and gender. And so we feel good about that, and the new hires will reflect that. The other side of the diversity piece is inclusion, how you allow people to be self-expressive and how you avoid intimidation and how you enable and empower people to work together. So that's work to be done. And clearly, the EVS scores reflect that we have more work to be done. And from a human capital perspective, we'll be focusing on that opportunity.
One thing about bringing new people on is you have an onboarding process. Then you have the security clearance process. Not for everybody, but for some people, you got to at least go through probably a FBI background check. Was there a way to make sure you got this process moving in a way that nothing got held up to say, oh, well, here's a candidate, but this process will take longer than we have to get them on? Tawanda, can you talk a little bit about that?
The PIVing process, which is a security process that we use, was one of the areas in the pre-planning that came up consistently. Our field personnel were extremely concerned about our ability to be able to PIV people in a compressed timeline. Normally, it would take about 30 days to PIV. We've gotten that down to about 10 days. We can get it done in 3 days, but 10 days is about the average that we are doing. But it was because we looked at the process and we actually outlined where we could come up with some efficiencies, and we've done that. So it's been fantastic to work with our security director. She's really good. She's done a great job. She's worked with the agency, and that was another effort where we collaborated with OPM, and we let them know we were going to have a hiring surge and that we were depending on our resources to get it done. We worked with our field personnel with fingerprinting to make sure that we knew where all of the fingerprinting stations were in the areas where we were advertising jobs. So we had it listed so people would know when you got your forms, you had 2 days to get your forms done. And we included the managers. So after they made selections, managers would actually call the applicants and say, have you done your forms? Because we need to get you fingerprinted. So it was more of not just human capital being involved, but the managers being involved in that process too that pushed that forward. So we've come up with a lot of efficiencies. One of the things you asked Mike about was the outreach. Since we implemented Career Connector as a tool for us, we are able to get a lot more analytics out of the system. And we received over 121,000 applications in this fiscal year. So we are really attracting people to the agency. And I think that's a significant number. So, you know, people are applying to jobs here. And I think, you know, we had a goal of 18.3 for veterans. We had set a target at the beginning of the year to try to meet 18.3%, and we were able to track that. We're over 19% for our veteran hires. So we're over a lot of our percentages. I'm very proud of that, and I think we're doing a great job. We're on the right track. It's not perfect, but we are looking at every step and trying to make sure that we're efficient, that we're collaborating, and that we're getting it done the right way.
I want to go back to the security clearance question, but before I do that, go through some of the other percentages, not only veterans, but there's women, there's minorities, there's people with disabilities. You have a whole litany of the different variety of groups that you're trying to reach out to.
For minority applicants, of that 121,000, 75,000 of those were minorities. So we are tapping into that community as well. And in August, about 233 of our hires were from the minority candidates. So that has been, for September, we'll see a significant jump because we've done close to 500 hires in September alone. So, you know, September was a huge month for us. So we'll see our minority hires coming up significantly. As far as disabled candidates are another category that we track and are trying to attract to the agency. And we've done a lot better with that as well. We had over 8,000 applicants with disabilities to apply for positions, and we've placed about 23 as of August. We are trying to make sure the agency is diverse.
I want to go back to the security clearance question because, and I'm going to be a little cynical here to wear my journalist hat again. When someone hears that you've reduced the security clearance process, the entire process, not just the background check, from 30 days to as little as 10 days and as little as 3 days, somebody could say, oh, they're just opening themselves up for a problem. You know, we've seen over the last year the tragedies at the Naval Yard, the issues with Edward Snowden and stealing of classified information. And I know HUD does not have a ton of classified information, and you're not at the level of some of the DOD or the intel agencies, but someone will hear this and go, okay, did they sacrifice quality for speed? And I think that may be a concern. So how do you alleviate those concerns?
No, we didn't sacrifice quality for speed. We actually have looked at how we do the security process. That's one thing. And we have worked very closely with OPM and the FBI to make sure that we are adjudicating the clearances appropriately. So we are doing it right. One of the things that we have done is we have authorized overtime. So our employees are spending the extra time to get the work done. And September has been a pretty tough month because of the numbers of hires that we've done in September. But the other ones have been spread out through the summer. So they've had the opportunity to do their job, do it expeditiously, but do a good job. So I'm not overly concerned about us not doing a great job because I think they have. And one of the things that we've streamlined is people coming from other federal agencies would take the same amount of time that someone from the outside. So we've actually looked at that adjudication process and streamlined that a little bit more, and we're able to bring over transfers through the PIVing process more succinctly.
One of the other things that occurs to me as you talk about bringing in so many people is the training process. People have to understand not just their job, but how HUD works, and the idea of how do you fill out your time card, how do you submit for vacation requests, sick leave, what about the TSP, all those pieces that your office has to deal with. How did you ensure that there was quality training and consistent training and enough training? Mike?
We got a pot of money, and among that pot is training dollars. So how we brought people on board obviously was critical. And those things, such as filling out time cards and learning about the agency, we thought about that. And what we did was, beyond human capital, we reached out to the other program offices and we created cross-sectional team for onboarding. So we're implementing that plan right now to make sure that the people we bring on board not only are successful, you know, the first week, but we will pay attention to them through the first 6 months, the first year.